Thank you all for coming. You know, we all represent the Midwestern part of our country, and we all represent agriculture, and we represent what agriculture can do and what I think our industries can do to diversify America's energy economy and to provide stability and help move our country in the direction of energy independence. And so we've been, the efforts that we've seen both in ethanol and biofuels has really reached, I think, some bumps on the road. And we're here to say and renew our commitment to the biofuels industry. I'm gonna just make a few really quick opening comments. Then we're going to introduce the senators behind me, and then we're going to introduce you to some producers who actually can tell this story, I think, much better than what we can. But first off, I want to talk about how incredibly successful this industry has been. We've been able to produce not just to the market, but in excess of the market, which a lot of people didn't think would happen. We've grown jobs, we've grown economic opportunity, and I think we've built out in rural America, which is very important to those of us who represent rural America, in places like Velva, North Dakota, which has one of the largest biofuels facilities in the world. If you look at what this industry depends on from the United States Congress, it's certainty. It is some measure of consistency in public policy, and I have to tell you, on that score, we failed miserably. And as a result of that, this industry faces some unique challenges. And so today I'm going to announce some findings from the National Biofuels Board survey, which they recently took, that talks about how this uncertainty and how the failure to provide consistency in public policy is really affecting this industry. Nearly 80% of United States biodiesel producers have scaled back production this year, and almost 6 in 10 have idled production altogether. Two-thirds of the producers said they have already reduced or anticipate reducing their workforce as a result of this turndown. 57% have idled production altogether or shut down a plant this year. And want to just, as somebody who has some experience in refining and in running a facility like this, I can tell you that shutting down a facility is a drastic move. It takes a lot of resources to bring that back up, and you don't want to see a facility completely eliminate production, because I will tell you that that creates some unique technological problems in a very advanced refinery such as what we have in the biodiesel area. 85% have delayed or canceled their expansion plans, and 98% attribute the weak industry conditions to the RFS proposal and the expiration of the biodiesel tax incentive. And so we're down, but we're not out. And I think we're here to say, hang on, help is on the way. We're hoping that we'll get some changes in public policy. But before I talk about what those are, I want to introduce my colleagues. And in this order, they'll give you a few comments as well. Senator Dick Durbin, who has been a champion of biofuels, has been a, I think you've probably toured every, and you have toured probably every facility in your state. Just absolutely.
He just said he invented the term.
Biofuels, did you? Yeah, along with the internet, Dick invented the term. Along with the internet, right? Senator Maria Caldwell will be joining us in a little bit. Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, who we spend a lot of time talking about our unique region and what we can do working together, and along with Senator Al Franken, who's there with us, and also from one of those all-important I states, and you know Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, big corn states, big agricultural producer states, but I know Senator Joe Donnelly has been a champion, and so we want to open this up for comments. We'll start with you, Dick.
Thanks, Senator Heidkamp. My colleagues have gathered here. America is recalibrating its energy picture. We want to make sure that biofuels are included in the future when it comes to America's energy for three obvious reasons. What we can grow here and process here, refine here and use here is going to lessen our need for importing petroleum products from overseas. Secondly, we know that this is a good, clean product that's going to reduce emissions and help us clean up the air. Some folks on the other side of the aisle may be in a debate among themselves about whether we have a problem. Most of us agree the best thing to do is find real solutions. Biofuels, part of the real solutions of cleaning up the environment, so that this earth is in at least as good a shape, maybe even better when we hand it over to our kids. And the third one is very selfish. This industry creates real good-paying jobs. 5 different biofuels processing facilities in my state and more than 5,000 people with associated employment. When there's uncertainty about the future of biofuels, there's uncertainty about these jobs. And I care about that, like every other senator who's gathered here today. So first and foremost, let's take care of the tax credit part of this. Let's get the extender bill done, which includes this biofuel tax credit. And secondly, beyond the biofuel tax credit, let's make sure that we continue to plead our case with the EPA. Their November preliminary rule is going to be disastrous, creating real uncertainty in the future of this industry. We need more certainty of growth in this industry that is going to keep creating good-paying jobs right here in America and serve the needs of America's energy future. I'm glad that Senator Heitkamp has brought us together today. The clarion call she's made about the alarm that's been sounded is one we're hearing all across America, particularly in the Midwest.
Thank you.
My brother-in-law.
That's not funny. I think Senator Heitkamp has a cousin here, but that's okay. We're not going to go into it. I first wanted to recognize Brian, who's the general manager of the Renewable Energy Group in Glenville, Minnesota. Where are you? Right over there. We're very excited to have Brian Christiansen here, a nice Scandinavian name from Minnesota. I just want to echo what people have been saying here. Biofuels, incredibly important to our country's energy supply, to the diversity of our energy. When you look at the numbers, we've reduced our dependency on foreign oil from somewhere from 60 to 40%. We know the 3 reasons we're doing better. Number one, some of the work going on in North Dakota with oil and natural gas. Number two, we have the fact that we've finally increased our gas mileage standards for our country, so our cars can go farther, our trucks can go forward. And number three, and not to be forgotten, is biofuels. It is now 10% of our nation's fuel supply. And every so often, we have a colleague that's not from a state that has a lot of agriculture, and they say, oh, it's a boutique fuel. Well, that's not true. It's 10% of our nation's fuel supply, and that's why the renewable fuel standard has been so important. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture estimates that the proposed rule that the EPA has put out would lead to 1,500 lost jobs in my state alone, and the cost to the state of $600 million in lost economic activity. The current state of affairs is that the oil industry, which is thriving, and that's a good thing for our country, but they continue to get their subsidies. The biofuels, ethanol, those subsidies have been cut. The biodiesel tax credit is included in the tax extenders legislation that we are considering this week. I hope that can be included. But we basically have an uneven playing field right now in general for biofuels, and that doesn't make any sense to me, and that's why we have the renewable fuel standard. The uncertainty about that standard, which Senator Heitkamp noted, comes at a significant cost. And you heard the numbers from the report. I think they're startling numbers when you know those small towns like in Brewster, Minnesota, where their biodiesel facility is literally the biggest employer, where you see these kinds of farmers that have invested in these plants all over the country. It is part of our energy supply, and it is part of our job picture in America. And it cannot be forgotten simply because some of the people that are making the decisions don't live in the states where those jobs are. Thank you.
Amy, I want to thank you for your leadership in this, and Heidi and all of my colleagues here. You're never going to see a biodiesel spill in the Gulf of Mexico. This is a clean energy. We talked to Gina McCarthy. We had a big meeting of almost 30 senators, totally bipartisan, Grassley, Johans, Fisher, Thune, and on and on and on, in Amy's office. And this was after this initial proposal for the rule change came out in the RFS, and backing off, really, our commitment to renewables. And Gina McCarthy said this is a green fuel. This has a lower carbon footprint. That's very important. It's also domestic. And it also is, as Amy said, the effect of this. Dave Fredrickson, the commissioner of ag in Minnesota, 1,500 jobs in Minnesota alone, $600 million in economic activity lost alone if we do this. And I have personally talked to the president about this. We have all gone to Gina McCarthy, to the head of OMB, to all the players in this, and told them that we can't back off our commitment to renewable, to biofuels. When we have three commercially scaled cellulosic ethanol plants coming online in Iowa this year. This is not the time to tell investors that we're backing off ethanol. Not when we've reached that point where you're actually seeing commercially scaled ethanol plants. That is an enormous benchmark that we can't ignore. And that, so we are continuing to reach out to you to let you know that this is important, not just to our states, but to America's energy portfolio, so that we are less dependent. We've had some great breakthroughs in fracking and in terms of getting natural gas out of shale. An enormous breakthrough that came because of DOE research. This is a new technology, these biofuels, relatively speaking, a new industry. And we can't back off our commitment to it. So that's why we're here today. I did visit the REG plant in near Albert Lea, where I spent a couple of years in my youth. And Brian Christiansen is here. Who runs that plant. These are jobs. This is good fuel. This is American fuel. Grown in America. Jobs in America. And it needs to be a part of our energy portfolio. Joe.
Thanks, Al. I want to thank Heidi, all my colleagues, our producers. This should be an easy decision. When you look at the benefits, you look at the environmental benefits, the jobs created. In Indiana, you have 5 biodiesel operations, 13 ethanol operations. All jobs that have been created because of this opportunity. And then, maybe more important than all of that, are the national security implications of this. I am old enough to remember back into the 70s when we used to have gas shortages, when one day you'd have to have an even-numbered license plate, and the other day you'd have to have an odd-numbered license plate. Because if you had an odd-numbered license plate, you couldn't get gas on Monday. If you had an even-numbered license plate, you couldn't get gas on Tuesday. And we said, wouldn't it be an amazing day if we could be energy independent as a country and not have to worry about whether or not somebody wants to ship us their product or whether somebody wants to hold our economy hostage. And then most importantly of all is that when you talk about funding sources for so many of the terrorist cells in the Middle East and in other areas, a lot of their funding comes right through the Gulf, right from the sales of oil products. And the last thing I think anybody in our country wants to do is see their hard-earned dollars go to be used against our own sons and daughters in another part of the world. So we have something that can create a tremendous number of jobs, do it in a more environmentally friendly way. This is a great product with a very low carbon footprint. And then to do it so that it's here. We don't have to worry about it being shipped over. we don't have to worry about whether or not it will be available. And this is something that we dreamed of years ago, and it's a reality, and it makes no sense that the very thing we worked so hard to accomplish, we would then make it more difficult to move forward with. And on a renewable fuel standard, like Al and Amy, I was able to have Gina McCarthy come out. And she sat with a group of Indiana farmers just outside of Indianapolis, down near Whiteland, Indiana. And when she sat with them, they said, "We've done everything we were asked to do. We stood up for our country. We took risks. We put our own money, our own effort, our own shoulders into this deal. And now we've come through in every way, shape, and form." As Heidi was mentioning, they said, nobody thought we could do it. And we have. And so to discourage the very thing we've been encouraging all along, that these plants were built on, seems to be very, very short-sighted. And so the RFS, which has been an incredible success, has moved our nation to energy independence. We need to make sure that we stand up and fight for it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Senator Heitkamp, for your leadership on this important issue. As somebody who comes from a state that has one of the largest facilities and certainly understands why it's important to replace diesel with biodiesel, thank you for your leadership. And it's great to be here with all my colleagues who are helping us to fight this battle. You know, we've come a long way since 2005 when we first, in the Energy Bill of 2005, introduced a standard for biodiesel that helped set the industry and the industry to move ahead. Since then, we've gone from 25 million gallons to 1.7 billion gallons. So it's an increase of more than 7,000%. So hats off to the industry and to all the job creation that my colleagues just talked about. But we're here today because we want to make sure that this product continues to grow. I'll also point out in my state we actually export biodiesel. So for me it's a clean product that is reaching new markets and new market opportunities. But for us here, we have some tremendous challenges because we need to make sure that these biodiesel industry pioneers continue to help have the incentives that will encourage their business to grow. One of these innovators here today, Jeff Haas from General Biodiesel in Seattle, turns restaurant grease and fish oil into fuel. And I can guarantee you that's a win-win situation. We can make use of waste products and we can overcome our major fuel challenges. Right now, he employs 24 people in Seattle, but we'd like him to employ more. They produce enough biodiesel with all the other biodiesel companies like them in our state. They could replace 3% of the diesel that we use in the state with these products that are grown from our region. So we want to continue to see these companies grow, but they face two challenges. One, the renewable fuel standard, and two, the biodiesel tax credit. The renewable fuel standard requirement is part of a legislation that is a process that is reset every year, and it sets that amount of biofuel mix. So with us producing 1.7 billion gallons of diesel in 2013, the Obama administration has proposed a lower floor. So we want to see that changed. We do not want to have 12,000 jobs in the United States of America hurt or those investments hurt. And so we want the administration to reconsider their decision. That's why we're all standing here today to say that this is an important investment and economic development opportunity for our country. A more positive note, the biodiesel tax credit that also gives investors certainty and predictability is moving through right now as part of the extenders package. So we do not want to see an extenders package fail or be done at the end of the year or next year or have the uncertainty on this tax credit. The more certainty we can give to these investors, the more investment we will see in biodiesel. That's why I'm joining my colleague, Senator Grassley, in sponsoring S-2021, which would change the biodiesel tax credit from a blender credit to a producer credit, and we hope that this will also produce some more predictability and certainty in the industry that we hope to foster more economic opportunity and cleaner sources of energy. So thank you very much, Senator Heitkamp, and thanks to all my colleagues. Well.